It's time now for Super Psychologist, Dr. Mara Karpel, and your golden years.
And welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years this evening and every Sunday evening, 5 p.m. Central Time, and that's 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com. That's B-L-O-G, talkradio.com, and on drmarakarpel.com. And today is Sunday, April the 2nd. We are back live from beautiful Austin, Texas, where some monster storms have passed through today, and now the sun is shining and it's calm. You would never know how nasty it got. And I hope you're all safe and dry wherever you're listening from. These storms were pretty rough and all around the Southwest today. But here we are. And the rumbling has stopped in time for today's program. And Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, producer of this show, is with us to make it run. And we have another great program in store for you. In a few minutes, we'll be joined once again from Vashon Island in the Puget Sound by worldwide speaker, blogger, minister, and author of several books, including The Power of Now and Sanctuary, Creating a Space for Grace in Your Life, Terry Hershey. And this time, Terry joins us to talk about pausing to find sanctuary in our lives. And later in the program, Laura Gelazunas will report in from the retirement sanctuary, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, to let us know what the retirees are all doing there these days. And also, later in the program, musician and producer of this program, Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, will join us on this side of the microphone to talk about the new trend of house concerts. And I will be talking about building resilience with optimism. And throughout this evening's program, we will have time to take your questions. So if you have any questions or comments for me or for my guests, please feel free to give a call. The toll-free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or you can email or tweet your questions to me, and I will read them on the air to my guests. And my email address is Dr. Mara, that's D-R-M-A-R-A, @ DrMaraKarpel.com, DrMaraKarpel.com. And my Twitter address is MaraEK. And you can hear this evening's program again by going to my website, DrMaraKarpel.com. And the link to the podcast will be posted along with any website links that my guests talk about on the program this evening, and that will be posted later tonight or early tomorrow morning. And you can hear the podcast of this program in its entirety as soon as 5 minutes after the show ends by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, B-L-O-G, talkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And for information from previous shows, updates about future shows, to listen to previous shows, and to read my blogs in Huffington Post and ThriveGlobal.com, and watch my YouTube videos, go to my website, DrMaraKarpel.com. I'll spell that for you again. It's DrMaraKarpel.com. And all of the previous podcasts of this program since we've been on Blog Talk Radio are right there at blogtalkradio.com, B-L-O-G, talkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And if you follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years, you get all of the updates in real time, up to the minute. So you'll be able to listen to my shows, find out what's coming up in the next program, read my blogs, and all of that. So be sure to follow me on Facebook. And again, that's Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. And if this is the first time that you're tuning in, I'm a licensed psychologist from New York City, practicing here in Austin, Texas, and the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. And I work with adults of all ages and have a specialty of working with seniors and with caregivers. And for the past 6 years now, have been evaluating veterans for PTSD. And part of the time, my office is in the wonderful Veterans Resource Center, Heroes Night Out, which is located in Cedar Park, Texas. And for information about this really great resource for veterans and for their families, you can check out their website, heroesnightout.org. Want to contact me? Do you have a question or a comment? Send me an email to Dr. Mara, D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com, D-R-M-A-R-A-K-A-R-P-E-L.com, or go through my website or give me a call at 512-626-6973. This evening's program is produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psych-Tub Productions, and sponsored by Dr. Ronald DeVere, neurologist, memory specialist, and author of the book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. To make an appointment with Dr. DeVere at his memory clinic in Lakeway, Texas, or to purchase a copy of his book, you can call him at 512-261-7909 or send him an email to rdevere, that's R-D-E-V-E-R-E, at austin.rr.com, and his book is also available on Amazon. And this evening's program is also sponsored by StoryHouse. StoryHouse gathers your stories and turns them into multimedia collections that can be shared now and for generations to come. Have StoryHouse over to conduct a private interview in your home or invite them to your next big event or family reunion. StoryHouse, where your memories live. Find out more at yourstoryhouse.com or call 512-296-8752. Okay, so we're going to take a brief break, play a few of our commercials, and right after the break, we'll be joined by author and worldwide speaker Terry Hershey to talk about pausing to find our own sanctuary every day and about his new book on this topic. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Super psychologist Dr. Mara Karpel will be back after words from our sponsors.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmarakarpel.com.
All right, and we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And now joining us on the phone from Washington State, we have worldwide speaker, blogger, minister, and author of several books, including The Power of Pause and Sanctuary, Creating a Space for Grace in Your Life. Terry Hershey is on the phone to talk about finding sanctuary in our lives and how to do this. Welcome back, Terry.
Hey, Mara. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. Just a quick reminder, when we talk like this, there's a slight delay. Just to keep
that
in mind.
That sounds like my normal conversations in life.
Right.
Just
sometimes
a
mine,
delay.
Yeah, sometimes mine too. So, so Terry, I'm so glad to have you back on the program. I always love reading your saddest moment blogs, and I'm always touched by them. So it's really a pleasure to get to actually speak with you about some of your blogs and some of the things that you write about. And for listeners who haven't heard you before in this program or haven't read any of your books, can you give them a little bit of your background?
Yes, I was born and raised in Michigan, so I'm a Midwestern boy, and from the time I was very young, I sort of knew, which is kind of ironic, I knew I wanted to be a minister, but you don't really know anything that young, but maybe my mother wanted me to be a minister, I think.
Right.
But I went down that career path and was ordained and did church work, local church work, for about 5 or 6 years, and realized that wasn't necessarily my thing, but ministry, and for me, that word encompasses basically taking care of people's hearts or spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Ministry was my thing, but I was more cut out to do writing and speaking. But anyway, I tell the story in a book I wrote called Soul Gardening. 30 years ago, I moved from Southern California up to, I live on an island near Seattle, Washington, on the Puget Sound. And I moved up here to this island, and I realized that, as a minister, as a clergyman, I had been, quote, very successful. But the paradigm had to shift, because what hit me 30 years ago when I landed here was, just because I was successful doesn't mean I was healthy. And so I came to this island and I started a garden, and the garden brought me back to me. I talk about letting my soul catch up with my body. I needed to be grounded again. I needed to find out who Terry was. And so my ministry is really about that for people, because we easily lose track and we easily forget. We easily are confused about it, and so I've been doing that ever since. And I've been here 30 years on my little island.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
it's your sanctuary.
It is. In fact, just before this interview, I was in the garden today, because it's a beautiful sunny day here in Seattle, which is very rare. So I was out in the garden working, and came in to chat with you. So
very nice, very nice. So you know, Terry, that I've quoted you in my blogs. I think I sent you some of the blogs where I quoted you.
Yeah.
because
thank
I
you.
Found that you're – well, thank you, because, you know, I found that what you wrote about in The Power of Pause and what we talked about last time you were on a program was really powerful in my own life, you know. You know, I think I've been more aware that sometimes we go through some of the roughest times at the very same time that we might be going through some of the most exciting times.
Yes.
Kind of.
Yeah.
And that dichotomy can be really brutal sometimes. So I think that, you know, reading your book and talking to you, it kind of gave me permission, or allowed me to give myself permission to take pauses.
Well, thank you. Permission is actually one of my favorite words in the dictionary, because for whatever reason, we don't. I mean, even when I was a clergyman, I was doing all the right, quote, things. My ministry, we're all good things. But the problem is, there's one word I didn't have in my vocabulary, and that was the word no.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how to say no. I didn't have the permission to take care. And at some point, because I do a lot of work with healthcare workers. In fact, you would appreciate this. A week ago, I was with a coalition here in the Northwest who works. They do senior care, and these are people who are involved in senior care. But as you know, people who are involved in senior care give, and they get depleted, they get worn out, they get tuckered, and so we did a thing about permission. We used the word that any kind of care I give, anything I give to somebody comes out of self-care. And if there's nothing there to give, it doesn't benefit anyone. And so a lot of the permission was for them, and there was almost like a sense of, and you would understand this, there was almost on the sense of the people was like, well, I should feel guilty if I do that.
Right.
If I pause and give myself time to catch up, and so it's a complete shift of the way we've been taught.
Mhm. Well, it's certainly not the culture here.
Yes, correct.
In the United States, unless we spend a lot of money and take a vacation for 1 or 2 weeks a year.
Yeah, and a lot of the people who come back from vacation are tireder than when they went, but that's different.
Exactly. Or they, for you know, Monday morning comes around and they forgot that they were just on vacation.
Yeah.
You know, it's gone.
Yeah.
So. So now, what is sanctuary? I know that's your the title of your latest book, and you've been writing a lot about sanctuary. What is that?
Sanctuary is any place or space in your life or your world where you are replenished. That's your sanctuary. I look at it this way. It's a place where you don't owe anyone and no one owes you. That's your sanctuary.
Is it actual place or is it an inner space?
It can see. When I wrote the book The Power of Pause, I talked about the need to slow down, to pause, to catch up, to be present, which is it's really about being present.
Mm-hmm.
And so my publisher said, "Well, why don't you write a follow-up book on how to do that?" And I thought, "Well, they're adults; they can figure it out." But I had to think, how would I do that? And that's what sanctuary is. Sanctuary is the specific place. And then I realized the first thing that came to my mind for sanctuary was my grandmother, and she used to have a porch swing. And whenever I would, and she used to swing there. She used to sit there a lot. She had cancer and had several bouts with it. And so she used to have a scarf on her head, you know, because her hair loss. But no matter what she was going through, she would sit on the swing. But when I visited her, I was a young adult, she always had space for me and had me sit with her on the swing. And she would pat my leg and call me darling. And and so I realized that was for me, that's what embodies sanctuary, is the place where I don't have to prove anything. I'm enough. I'm okay. Now, right now, I have a sanctuary in my garden. I can take you to it. I can show you where the chair is, etc. But even if I can't go there, I can go in my mind to my grandmother's swing.
Mm-hmm.
So to answer your question, there are some people, like my partner's a home care worker, so she works with people, some people who are quite elderly, they can't move, they don't have another space they can go to. So it is an internal thing for some people. But, or it's even a smallish thing. I had one woman, her space would have been, you know, she wanted to go to the ocean, she wanted to go see water, that would have been her sanctuary, but she couldn't afford it, couldn't get there. So she just had a little fountain that made a water sound on her desk, you know.
Uh-huh.
In other words, you create a place.
Okay. So you actually create a physical place or remember a physical space.
Yes. And a lot of people have a sanctuary, but they didn't think about calling it that. Where you can breathe again. I mean, this island I live on, you get on a ferry to come over here. And I didn't think about that at the time, but just getting on the ferry, you breathe differently. In other words, that's what the sanctuary does for you. You're leaving something else behind. I'm now less stressed. There's less anxiety. And I realized that I need to go to whatever my sanctuary place is. And it's different for different people. Some people walk, some people sit, some people read, some people pray, some people meditate. Some people hang out with their cat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be very, very relaxing if the cat doesn't scratch. So why is it so important? Why do you think it? Why, you know, you're writing about sanctuary, so it must be really important.
Well, if I don't have a sanctuary, then it's going to be very difficult for me to anchor or to remember where my identity belongs. In the busyness and craziness of life, or the hecticness of life, I think my identity belongs on how much I'm doing, or how much I'm accomplishing, or who I'm impressing, or who likes me, or who notices. All of these measurements, and you know, those are okay because they do get things done, or how perfect it is, or I'll look stupid if I don't, and all the things we tell ourselves. I mean, I have so many people who talk to me who are retired, and they say, you know, my life is crazier since I've retired. I thought that was supposed to chill out, you know. There are so many things that tell me who I am, but a sanctuary is like, wait, stop. You are enough without that.
Mm-hmm.
You are enough.
Mm-hmm.
And until I know that, once I learn that, then I can go into an encounter with you without the need. I don't need to now fix you or impress you or perform for you or cure you or anything like that.
Right. Right. Because you feel enough.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the sanctuary is a non-negotiable. I mean, I use the biblical, the Jewish biblical creation story that the Creator spent the seventh day. He quit working.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Had a sanctuary. I don't know exactly where it was, but all I know is it was different.
Right. So how do people find sanctuary? How do they find their sanctuary? Do you have any ideas for that?
Yeah, I do. It's a fun thing to start with when we do the workshops, and then you're probably going to mention that I'm going to have an e-course about it in May, but I have people, I do a bunch of images just about what triggers sanctuary for people. And for some people, it's being in a quiet place. For some people, it's being in a big open space or whatever it is. But where are those places where your spirit has been quieted? Where are those places where you don't feel like you need to perform? Where are those places where you breathe? Where are those places where you feel connected with yourself? Where are those places? And the key word that I use for that is portal. A portal is like an entryway. And so the portal is the place where you enter your sanctuary, and that's where you find it. I mean, a very simple thing. One woman said, I'm not spiritual, I'm not religious, so I don't know about the sanctuary thing. So I said, no, but where? Go through that list of what I just said, and where is that for you? She said, well, I walk every day with my friend for a couple miles, and she said, that settles me, that grounds me. I said, okay, that's your sanctuary. She said, oh, well, okay. And then she said, oh, I get it now. When I sit down at my front, there's a booth near my front door. When I sit down there and tie my tennis shoes, I realize that's the portal to my sanctuary.
Ha, okay.
It's like my entry to sanctuary.
Right. Huh. Okay. So, you know, I know you write in the chapter of your book about how sanctuary is not a program to add to our to-do list. It's a way of life. So, you know, I know that, you know, a lot of people, when they start self-help programs and try to make positive changes in their lives, they get really caught up in doing it perfectly and sticking to the diet perfectly or exercising every day the way that they had planned to and meditating every day or wondering if they're even meditating correctly.
Right.
So how is sanctuary different than that?
Well, if it's the freedom from the need to perform, then it's not a contest. I mean, it's not a race. I mean, you're not going to get graded on it. So I tell people, you know, I invite you to feel free to screw this up.
Okay.
What I love about, like, that woman who is jogging, you know, she's thinking, what am I supposed to do? There must be something I need to add to my life. So where am I supposed to go? Am I supposed to meditate? I mean, now do I have to be a prayer? You know, all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing she already had a sanctuary in her life. She just needed to, oh, there's that word again, the permission to recognize it.
Right.
You know,
right.
And the permission, maybe the permission is in, maybe I'm a one guy who's, he does a practice called centering prayer, which is Father Thomas Keaton does, and it's just about being present, and it's a period of time, I don't know how many minutes he practices it, but he's been doing it for 15 years. In the workshop, he said, you know, I've been doing it 15 years, but it doesn't seem to be working yet. And so it's that premise. It's like, I said, what exactly is it supposed to be doing? I said, maybe you should have bought the insurance for it or something, but
right.
We have this notion that, I said, just why don't you just go back and do the centering prayer without the need to think you have to pass a test.
Right, right. So are you successful? Are you doing it correctly even if you walk out of the sanctuary one day and you don't feel relaxed, you weren't able to relax? Is that still okay?
Well, think about doing aerobics. When you go to an aerobic class, it may or may not have worked per se that day. You might not have felt good that day, but you're going to go to aerobics again tomorrow.
Right.
I mean, you know what's, in other words, because the verb there is practice, to practice it. In other words, this isn't about a cure. This is just about the process of healing.
Right.
So
right.
Whether I go to my aerobic class tomorrow doesn't depend on whether I did a good one or bad one today.
Mm-hmm.
I just go
mm-hmm.
to it. I mean, that'd be like
right.
somebody coming to a therapy session with you and saying, man, I don't think I can come today. The last one was so terrible.
What's happened?
You know? Yeah, exactly. It's like, man, I should have made more progress by now.
Right.
So, in other words, we've got to get that the permission thing is to be able to laugh almost at our obsession with being like we're going to have somebody's going to win an award for best sanctuary.
Right. Can I tell you a really quick funny story? Because
yeah.
You just reminded me of that. Okay. So several years ago when I was still living in New York, I heard about a meditation center that was a Chinese Buddhist meditation center, and it was free for the public to show up. And I decided, yeah, I could use some meditation. I'm going to go try it out. And a friend of mine said, well, let me join you because I need to meditate also. And we got there, and they told us to go upstairs and take off our shoes. And the Chinese Buddhist monk met us the meditation room. We were the only two meditators there in addition to the monk. And he said, I'm going to ring the bell. You're each going to face the wall in different directions. And I'm going to ring the bell, and you start meditating. And when an hour is over, I'm going to ring the bell, and it'll be time for you to stop. And before we sat down to meditate, he turned to my friend and said to him, do you know how to meditate? And the entire hour, I kept thinking, oh, no, I don't think he really knows how to meditate. Do I know how to meditate? That was the longest hour.
And it's so true with any of those kind of practices, and the reality is that the meditation begins with the permission to just start with the things that we're anxious about. In other words, make that then therefore another, but we think it's not acceptable.
Right.
That's so true.
So.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry you're kicked out of the meditation for being unable to meditate.
Exactly. So back to your blog. I want to talk about your blog, and you talk about sanctuary in a lot of your Sabbath moment blogs, and the latest one really touched me about the Holocaust, because you know I had family that were in the Holocaust, and so reading that story was especially touching. And I loved when you talked about how sanctuary helps to build immunity to fear or threat. Can you explain that? Because I think a lot of people are feeling very fearful and threatened these days.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that particular the Sabbath moment that you're referring to, there was actually a village in southern France that was they were a Protestant church community, but they risked their lives to hide Jews in their homes or their farms, public buildings, when they were being rounded up by the Nazis. And when the Nazis would come to this village, they'd send the people, the Jewish people who were there, they'd send them out into the woodland a bit a ways, and so the Nazis would search, nobody would be there. And so when the Nazis were done searching, the villagers would go outside and they'd start to sing a song. And when the Jewish people heard that song, they knew it was safe to come back. And what struck me was that that the extraordinary power of compassion, and sanctuary is a part of that. In other words, the people of that village said, "You are safe here. Even though we may all die, for this moment, you are real here. You are safe here." And when you see that and know that, you know, you see it in a baby. When a baby sees that in its mother's face, anxiety goes away. Fear goes away.
Right.
They see in their mother's smile. They see, okay, I'm completely safe and at home here. That's what sanctuary is. That's a powerful, powerful thing. And I think one of the things right now in what's going on is if I just am sticking to anxiety and fear, I end up fighting with the people I disagree with, and the anger only intensifies. But if I practice sanctuary, what I see is there are other people around me who are afraid, other people around me who are anxious, other people around me who do not feel at home, and I realize I can be sanctuary to them. I can be the one singing this song for them. I can be the one that is a place. I can be that place. And the truth is we can be sanctuary. I mean, look what my grandmother did for me on that swing.
Yeah.
Even though she was going through horrific things, she was still a place of sanctuary for me. And I can do that now. That's what my blog is about. Is how do I create a space where people feel like they're seen and at home.
That's powerful. And, you know, last week I talked on the show about kindness, and I think that having compassion like that creates a safe space for us as well, right?
Yes,
it kind
absolutely.
Of back to us.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
So how many books do you have out now?
16.
16 books?
Yeah.
Wow. All around this topic?
No, not all around this.
No?
Before that, they were about ministry and they were about relationships. But then I realized I didn't really know anything about relationships, so I quit writing about that. That's like people who write about parenting. It's like you write about it only when they're young, and then you realize, okay, I'll quit. But then when I moved to the island and I started writing about this, that's when I shifted to what I write about now. So now I write about, basically, it's about being present, being at home in your own skin, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Being grounded.
So, And you have this new e-course, which you talked about a little bit.
Yeah, there's two of them. One is on the power of pause, which is just about slowing down and being okay with slowing down. It's basically your sentence about giving yourself the permission. That's what that one's about.
Mm-hmm.
And that one's in April. That's coming up next week. And then in May is the one on sanctuary, and we help people create, find, build, learn their own sanctuary. It's kind of fun.
Okay. So are those courses live? Do people, is it like a webinar? Or
no. Well, there is a webinar for the sanctuary one, but it's not necessary to go through it. No, there are emails that are sent out, and then there are videos attached to it, and then there's an ongoing conversation with people, and we're sharing comments and photos
mm-hmm.
About what we're going through. So it's kind of that part's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's like the community.
Yeah.
And the Sabbath moments, those come out once a week, don't they?
Sabbath moments come out every Monday, and I'm glad you remind me because I haven't written the one for tomorrow yet.
Oh my! Okay.
I'm a procrastinator. Did you get that?
You're pausing.
Yeah, well, that's a nice way to say it. So they come out on Mondays. Every Monday, a Sabbath moment comes out, and it's a story. And thanks for mentioning it. I'm grateful. It's a story like you talked about, like we mentioned for the last one. And then there's a poem and a prayer from different religious perspectives around the world, and then there's a YouTube to help inspire, ground people. So
mm-hmm.
it's kind of fun.
Yeah,
and,
those
and
are
that's
great.
Free.
I love
it's,
those.
It, that's a free thing. People can go to my website and sign up.
Yeah, that's worth it. And it's, you know, it's definitely worth, you know, checking out these books because you go deeper in the books.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And those e-courses sound great. When I looked at your website, though, I couldn't find the sanctuary one. Did you take it down, or are you putting it back up after?
No, it's on there.
Okay.
It's on there. It's under the e-course
search thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. There's a tab at the top that says e-courses, and you go to that and scroll down, and you'll see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So if people are interested in buying your books, getting your Sabbath Moment newsletters, signing up for your e-course, what is the best way that they can do that?
Just my name, terryhershey.com, TerryHersey, just like chocolate, HEY.com.
Right.
So
okay.
Just go to terryhershey.com, and all of the information is there. So they can sign
okay.
up, they can go to the e-courses, they can get Sabbath Moment. They can actually. There's a fun thing there. There's a link they can click and they can go visit my garden. There's photos of my garden. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well,
that part's kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to post the link to your website on my web post about this program later. So.
Well, I'm very grateful. Thank you. I'm glad for what you do down there. It's a good thing, and I'm grateful for you spilling your light and always glad to be involved.
Well, thank you, and I'm grateful for having you on this program. So let's stay in touch. I'd love to have you back on. You're always doing new things, and I'd love to have you come back on and talk about what you're up to.
All right. You're on.
All right.
All right. Peace.
Have a good evening.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. So we're going to take a break. We have lots more to come, so don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Worry about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the fact. Memory loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show. Please visit us on the web at www.drmarikarpel.com.
All right, and we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years right here on Blog Talk Radio and on drmarikarpel.com. And before I talk about my topic for this evening, which is optimism, one of my favorite topics, all right, are you there? Okay. Let me fill you in on the latest news before I talk about my topic for this evening. As I talked about last week, Art is uploading to YouTube all of the videos of my interviews with the guests on this program who have been live in the studio since January of 2016. That's when we started videotaping, in January of last year. And those video interviews are of the guests who are local, who are able to meet us at the studio. So you might have heard the interview on the radio here, on the internet radio, and that is another way of hearing the interview where you can actually watch it at the same time and see the guests and what they look like. Which is always fun. And he'll be uploading one per week for a while onto YouTube until we get all caught up on the videotaped interviews. And you can see those YouTube videos by putting in a search for Dr. Mara Karpel on YouTube. Or you can go to my website and click on videos. And the YouTube videos that have been uploaded will all be there. So I'll be putting them on my website as they get uploaded to YouTube. I'll also be putting a link on my Facebook page. So if you follow me on Facebook, you'll know right away when they're uploaded to YouTube. And as you know, if you're a regular listener here, I'm a contributor now to Arianna Huffington's new online magazine, Thrive Global. And six of my blogs so far have been published there. Stay tuned for a new one this month. And you can check out those blogs on my website, drmarikarpel.com, and click on blogs or publications. Either one of those two icons will lead you to my blog. Or search my name on thriveglobal.com. And you can also read my Huffington Post blogs that have been published since almost two years ago, monthly. And you can do that the same way by going to huffingtonpost.com, putting in my name, or go right to my website and click on blogs or publications. Also, my book is now getting ready for the next step toward publication. And if you follow me on Facebook, you will get all of the updates about my book and previews into the book. And I want to thank anybody who voted for the title. I had a poll a couple of weeks ago and last week for the best title. And we got a lot of responses to that, and we're tabulating them right now. So thank you. It's always fun to have the involvement of my listeners and social media followers in this process. So we'll keep you updated when there is more things for you to participate in and just to let you know what's going on and when the book is out. Okay, so now I'm going to talk for a little bit about optimism, and it kind of follows what Terry Hershey was just talking about, sanctuary, and sanctuary being a way of building immunity or resilience to fear and to threat, really more immunity, where you You don't let it. You can relax. You don't let yourself feel fearful, even when there is a possible threat. And I think optimism kind of relates to that, because optimism also builds immunity to threat. And in fact, I think that finding sanctuary, as Terry was talking about, actually creates optimism. So it's all related, because if you can be in a place where you feel peaceful and you feel like you're enough, then, and you feel that you're not being threatened, then you feel optimistic. And vice versa, if you can build optimism, then you can build that feeling of sanctuary. It also, I think, it relates in terms of compassion. And I love that he wrote that latest blog about compassion, because, you know, I talked about that last week, about kindness, which to me is compassion. And I believe that optimism is generated through compassion, that if we know that there are people that have our back and really understand us, we can feel optimistic about ourselves, about our safety, about our lives. And we can feel grateful for the compassion that is shown to us, that again, gratitude brings about more optimism. So it all relates. And having compassion for others leads us to feel more optimistic as well. That when we, because as I talked about last week, the benefits of kindness and generosity and compassion, which is a deeper kindness and generosity, brings out many benefits to us in terms of improving our mood. And that brings about compassion, optimism. I keep mixing up these words, but it's all related. And, you know, life can be very stressful for us, no matter how enlightened we think we are. These days, everything is moving at a very fast pace, and sometimes we have to kind of scramble to keep up with it, and sometimes we feel that we have to keep running the race rather than doing what Terry had suggested, which is taking a pause. And it leads us to feel very stressed out. And even, as I mentioned earlier, that even when very, very positive things are happening, stress is change, and it's our ability to handle that change that tells us whether or not we're going to be stressed out or feel fine. And even in the face of this change, and the change can be positive or negative, and either one can cause us to feel stressed out. And feeling optimistic gives us resilience to stay healthy in spite of stress. So if, you know, the changes that come about from positive things are stressful just because it's change and we have to get used to changes. We have to adjust and adapt. But there's also that stress that comes about that when things are going well, that we start to fear that maybe this is only going to last for a certain period of time and then everything is going to crash, right? People get nervous when things are going too well and they think that how long can this possibly last? And rather than enjoying things going well, they worry about the future and things not going as well as they're going right now, right? One of the things to keep in mind that, yes, everything everything changes and everything ends. And if we realize that and take it as a truth, then we can enjoy the situation and be present with positive things right now rather than worrying about the future. And just because it's going to change or end in the future doesn't mean that it's going to be bad. So if we can feel optimistic and understand that, you know, this is great. I'm so happy that things are going so well, or things aren't going that well, but I know that they're going to get better because everything changes and ends. That's the positive thing. When things aren't going well, we know it's just temporary. And things are going well, and I know that this isn't forever, but I'm optimistic that I'm going to be okay and something better will happen, or I'm going to be fine when this particular situation changes. That gives us resilience in spite of the stress. That keeps us from becoming stressed out. And when we have that positive attitude, which is really a realistic type of optimism, right, and understanding that things always eventually change or end, that's realistic, but that I'm going to be okay anyway, and I'm really going to enjoy this moment, and there's no such thing as too good, things going too well. I'm going to really enjoy things going really well. I'm blessed. I have gratitude. That positive attitude, that optimism, brings about more positive things, because when we have a positive attitude, we release those wonderful stress-reducing chemicals and mood-elevating chemicals and pain-relieving chemicals, endorphins. Those endorphins, I love endorphins. I talk about them all the time because those are natural pain relievers, mood elevators, stress reducers that our own brain produces, and there are no side effects. In fact, there are positive effects, which are that they increase our immune system. They boost our health when we produce more of those wonderful endorphins. And those endorphins can be produced in various ways. And one of them is through exercise, which we've talked about. Another way is through deep relaxation for a period of time. We start to produce endorphins. Another one, which I talked about, I believe it was last week when I talked about humor, or the week before where I talked about humor, that when we laugh, we produce endorphins and can actually reduce pain and improve our mood from laughter. And then the final way is just having gratitude, having a positive attitude, and allowing ourselves to feel really, really good rather than worrying about the future. That produces endorphins, which bring about more good because it makes us feel good. It makes us have less pain. It makes us better able to do things that we enjoy doing because we have less pain. And also when we have a positive, optimistic attitude, we produce more DHEA, which is a youth hormone. And young people have a lot of DHEA. And as we get older, we produce less DHEA over the normal course of the day. But when we feel really, really happy and optimistic, our body responds and we start producing more DHEA, which gives us more energy, a more feeling of vitality, and it actually causes us to look younger. So have you ever noticed that when somebody's really positive and happy, that they look younger, that you can't believe that they're the age that they tell you they are? That's really common. When someone's real happy, it actually smooths out the lines in your face. It's pretty amazing and gives us much more energy and ability to do things that, you know, perhaps a younger person usually is more able to do. And as I said, the endorphins that we produce help to increase the strength of our immune system. It also produces having a positive attitude and optimism produces other chemicals in our body, immunoglobulin A, for example, which boosts our immune system, which help us to prevent ailments ranging from the common cold to cancer. And so being optimistic brings about really good things, right? It brings about less events in our lives for us to worry about. So if we can bring about more health, physical health, emotional health, and well-being, then we have more positive things. So our optimism becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. We create positive things to validate our optimism. And when we're negative and pessimistic, we get sicker. Our immune system becomes more compromised. We have more pain. And we push people away because of our negative attitude, and so that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Our pessimism leads to negative life events. And then another reason that optimism helps our health and brings about more positive events is that when we feel optimistic, we're more likely to stick to healthy routines that are good for our health. So a pessimistic person would be more likely to say, oh, what's the point? I'm going to die anyway, or I have no control over this disease that I have, or I have no control over my genetics. So everyone in my family had diabetes, so I'm going to get diabetes, so why watch my diet? Now, that's silly because we do have control in some degree over our health by what we eat and how we lead our lives and our whole general lifestyle and exercise. And if we're optimistic, we're more likely to have a healthier lifestyle and therefore more likely to be healthy. So how do we bring about optimism? And let me just give you some quick tips before we go to Laura, who is waiting for us in paradise to talk about what's going on in Puerto Vallarta. So talked about it on this program. I would say pretty much everything that my guests recommend are things that will bring about a more optimistic attitude. So as Terry Hershey talked about, finding sanctuary, having a place where you can feel peaceful and at home and that you're enough, will help to bring about optimism. Having compassion for other people helps to bring about optimism because it's circular. You get the compassion back, and we create a compassionate society that we live in. Doing things like yoga and meditation and exercise and laughing, all of those things help to bring about a more optimistic attitude. Eating healthier. Taking care of ourselves in all of the ways that we talk about taking care of ourselves. The common sense ways, getting enough sleep, eating healthy food, exercising, socializing, getting together with friends that are positive. All of these things. I really like that part that getting together with positive friends because optimism is contagious. So that helps us to create more optimism in our lives and to become more resilient to the stress that we're all dealing with these days. So on that note, we're going to take a brief break, and Laura Galazunas is going to join us from her sanctuary in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, where all the retirees are having a ball. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Mm-hmm. the cricket flying so high now shows a man where to fish. Watch Vicente, he lies in his hammock, teaches tourists how to live, and he knows how to live. Hear the thunder high in that mountain, watch the clouds rolling in. Senoritas, they dance on that shoreline, making plans for that kiss, and they know how to kiss. They say that we're 1 hour behind, but the senoritas, they keep us in time. That part BCT just blows through my mind. It takes me back to my place, Punta Mita time.
And we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And now we have Laura Gelizuna joining us on the phone from her sanctuary in beautiful Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. How are you, Laura?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. We had Kerry Hershey on the phone, and he just wrote a book about finding our sanctuary. So it seemed just appropriate that you were calling from Puerto Vallarta.
My little sanctuary.
Yes. So how is things down there in paradise?
Well, the weather has been perfect. I mean, there's just the last couple of winters, it's been warmer. Like, it's gotten, like, it'd be warm, humid already now.
Mm-hmm.
And this, God, the past 3 months have just been phenomenal. Everybody's in a good mood.
Nice.
It's not hot. It's, you know, the weather really affects people's personalities. So in
sure.
the dead of summer, yeah, especially when we get towards the end of summer, you know, September, early October, people
mm-hmm.
are like, okay, we like it hot, but this is ridiculous. I'm living in a sauna.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But it's just, God, the mornings are perfect. You know, I walk my dogs for an hour in the morning, and it's just, it's so delightful. Except we were walking in the dark this morning because we changed the clocks last night.
You changed the clock. You finally caught up with us.
Yeah, we finally caught up with everybody else. So I'm not, you know, not calling my mom too late at night. But,
right.
like, oh, you know, I can't remember. But, why Puerto Vallarta is on Central Time, I have no clue, because, you know, it's still dark at 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah, it seems like you guys should be on Pacific Time.
Or at least Mountain.
Right.
And we're not.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I mean, I've heard all kinds of explanations, but nothing really substantial that makes sense to me.
Well, it's... but it probably stays late.
Because it's
really.
Like the sun doesn't go down now that we switch time. The sun isn't going to set till like 7. It's almost 8 o'clock the sun sets tonight.
Right. So that's kind of nice.
But I don't mind it being dark in the morning myself. So.
Yeah. Kind of nice to have that. Maybe that's why they do it. Because you have a lot of tourism there and people want to stay on the beach later.
Right. It could be. You
right.
know, and stay out later
mm-hmm.
and eat and do the whole sunset thing. Yeah, it could be. I
yes,
have no idea.
Yes.
I've even questioned a few government officials. Why are we on Central Time? And they'd look at you. Like,
so are there still a lot of winter visitors down there enjoying the
warm weather?
Yeah,
they're still here. There's, you know, a few have already gone home. But some usually stay till May. People come down from like November to May is pretty good.
Uh-huh.
Stretch.
So are there still things going on for them?
Oh, of course they're still there. You know, this place never runs out of charity events, so. There's always something. The Altruism Festival is May 14th. That's coming up. That's I think it's the 12th or 13th year. I want to say 13th. And so there's usually like 15 charities that it benefits, and it's held at the Marriott. And then all kinds of restaurants donate, so you pay one price, and then everybody has a booth. So you can, like, sample stuff from all these restaurants and drinks, and then they have live music and dancing, cultural presentations, all that kind of stuff. And then the charity has a booth there, too, and usually with a video or the people they're helping, those kind of things, so you can learn more about all the other charities that are here. So, and then the money gets divided up between all of them. So. So that's it's pretty good. It's a really fun event. Yeah.
So do a lot of
for sure.
A lot of people turn out for that usually.
Yeah, they usually do really well.
Yeah.
Because it's the end of the year, and you know, there's nothing much else going on, even though a lot of people have left. But this is, you know, benefits so many different charities. I'm going to say at least a dozen. So yeah,
okay.
It really helps.
Very nice. Very nice. And is there still entertainment plays? I know
had
a lot of.
Yeah, they
kind of
scale back a bit on how many different shows and things like that they have here, but there's still live entertainment. One is at Act 2. It's called Act 2. And then there's a new live entertainment venue called Encanto that opened. And they're having quite a few shows as well. So singing and dancing, plays, stuff like that. So
nice.
It goes on all year round. It's just scaled back a bit. I mean, where there's like shows every night, there might be shows 3 days a week or something.
Right. Very nice. Okay, and of
course, that's going on. Coming up is the.
Go on.
Coming up is the Easter Bonnet Brunch.
Okay.
This is good. At Casa Cupola, which is the gay boutique hotel, and they have this huge brunch, but they have an Easter Bonnet contest. So I'm just going to let you think about that for a second. And it's pretty spectacular every year, to be honest.
Very ornate Easter bonnets.
Oh, whole outfits. Casa Cupola also has a restaurant called Taste, and it's part of their hotel, and it's gotten quite popular. And they just hired a new chef recently, and he's been doing some spectacular things. So, the Easter bonnet contest. And I thought it was going to end until I saw the photos, and I was like, whoa.
You couldn't compete.
I don't know. I saw the photos of the Easter bonnets, so I'm like, oh, my gosh. Don't know if I can compete with all that.
Right.
Pardon?
Go on. Well, Matthew.
So the Easter. Oh, you're breaking up.
Am I breaking up? Can you hear me?
You're
now?
Breaking up a little. I can hear you now. gotta love the internet.
Yes, that's what it is.
The Easter Bonnet Brunch is also a fundraiser for SETAC, which is the LGBT Community Center at Puerto Vallarta. So they do education and prevention of HIV to residents and visitors, and they provide the rapid test. They provide the rapid testing. They distribute condoms. They do. They also help people here that are residents, full or part time, sign up for Mexican federal health insurance. So that's also a feature that they do, and they provide formula for HIV positive mothers. So they do a lot of stuff.
Okay,
so
that's great.
That's kind of fun there. Yeah.
I was asking you before when I broke up about the food. Is there a lot of food? Are there a lot of restaurants that are gourmet around Vallarta that have opened up recently?
Yeah, we've got a bunch of new restaurants, and you better go the first few months they're open because, you know, not a lot of restaurants. There's like 500 restaurants in Vallarta or more.
Wow. Wow.
And somebody who comes down here and says, oh, I'm going to open a restaurant. I'm like, really? Because it's a tough market. You've got a lot of foodies living here who, when a new restaurant opens, it is nitpicked on Facebook to no end.
Mm.
Oh, did they have cloth napkins or paper napkins? It's
okay.
Down to that. Yeah, it's down to that level.
Wow.
So there's a new one called Bonito Kitchen, which is in the suburbs, and it just opened, and it's featuring Asian food and gourmet cocktails. I'm going Tuesday night for the first time, so I'll let you know how it is. But
yeah, let me know how that goes.
Big, big buzz about that restaurant. She was a chef somewhere in the States and came down, but she's getting a reputation because she does pho, you know, the noodle bowl thing.
I
want to say it's Vietnamese, but I'm not sure.
Yes,
but she does that, and she.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she does that on Saturdays, and then she had to do it on Saturday and Sunday now because she starts it at 2 until they run out, and she's like, they started running out, and she now has to do it Saturday and Sunday.
Wow.
So kind of excited there, and it's a tapas place. It's tapas. It's small plates. So her menu's huge, and so we're going there Tuesday night to check it out for the Friday Foodies group, which starts up in low season.
Nice.
Yeah, so we're going to check that out. Some kind of blueberry cocktail she's doing.
Sounds great. You have to tell us how it is when you come back on.
Mm-hmm.
So, Laura, how can people find out about what's going on in Vallarta?
They can check out BanderasNews.com, BanderasNews.com, for all the latest information on what's going on here.
And what if they're looking for some place to live for next
year? I would be more than happy to sell them a condo.
Okay.
And they can check out
your website.
My website is PuertoVallartaCondosForSale.com. I'm in the middle right now of doing a new website, so hopefully that'll be up graciously within the next month. So they can check out all the latest condos. So get ready.
Hey.
Bunch of new places being built. Sales are really good in the summer. So
this is a good time to start thinking about it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Great. Up on my website tonight, the web post about this program. And
mm-hmm.
Are you available to come on in 2 weeks?
Of course.
All right. Well, then I will speak with you then. Hold on a second. 2 weeks, is that Easter? Easter.
Oh, that's Easter. Are you doing a show?
Yep. We're not doing a show on Easter. We're taking a break. So probably the next week. So we'll schedule
Perfect.
It for the next week. All right.
Okay.
Well, have a wonderful time in this beautiful weather in Vallarta. And have a good holiday. Have a good Easter.
You too.
And we'll be hearing from you soon.
Okay, perfect.
All right. Great. Good night.
Have a good evening.
You too. All right. So we're going to take a little break and listen to a little music. The producer of this program will be on to talk about the latest in music. And we're back. And if you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years. And we were just listening to the beautiful music of The Brew. And joining us on the phone is our producer and musician, Art Mendoza. Hey,
that's
Art.
That's right. It's another evening. And
another
I'm here to talk about...
We survived the storm. In Austin,
everybody
right?
survived the storm. Everybody's okay, and we survived a house concert. The reason I want to bring it up is because that seems to be something that's been going on for several years, and now it's becoming more of a normal thing for artists to be booked in homes for private parties and or semi private parties. The group that you just heard there is The Brew. And it's anywhere from a four-piece to a nine-piece group. And we had four pieces in for a house concert and about 35 people. And it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is that there are actually agents that will book you for house concerts and go on a circuit. And some of these agents are like Ben Zugel, also House Concerts. Let's see, what is the name of this one? This one is House Concerts U.S. And then another one is Julie. And let me see if I can find this one here. Here we go. Concertsinyourhome.com. And there was another one that was pretty crazy, but there are several agencies now that actually do house concerts, and it's a very interesting
to see. Are those local or are those national?
No, these are all around, either regional or national. And I'm sure that they have offshoots in different parts of the country, depending on what website you go to. But it's just interesting to see that, you know, the musician is probably the most chameleon-oriented person that works, because anytime the economic weather changes, they have to change. Because if they don't, they stop becoming an artist or they work a day job, and let alone do music anymore. They just leave it to the side. But, it's quite interesting. And I think now that we're in a climate where everyone's kind of watching what's going on economically, there are more singles, duets, and trios going out doing house concerts. And The Brew was playing here, and that was the song that was the title After the Rain. And now I'm going to play a song called Dancing with the Gypsies. And I'll play it now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Beautiful. That was beautiful. I was dancing around here in my chair. So you got to play with the brew at this house concert.
Yeah, it was fun. It was, you know, if anybody knows, I lost my voice and I just got it back, so I needed to check it out and see if I could actually sing, and I did. So I'm pretty thrilled about
Yeah, you sounded great. So
anyway, that's what's happening on these days of the music world. People are doing house concerts and having fun. You know, they're getting together with a lot of friends and people who actually like one style of music, or people who want to go listen to something different that they've never heard. So that's about it. Let's get out.
And
of
it's
town.
usually with a suggested donation, right? So
people who are throwing the house concert donate. Yeah, because you're bringing the liquor, or they can have where people can bring in their dishes and share dishes and all that. But usually there's either going to be a tip for the band, or there will be a tip for the food service and all that. But it all works out because it's with friends and everyone has a good time.
Yeah.
Because if you add up the pricing in any open venue, it's going to be a lot more than what you would be paying in a private situation.
Right.
So let's get out of here.
Mom, well, I just want to mention, my mom told me they used to have these to pay the rent. Back in the 50s.
Try to pay the rent now.
All right.
Okay, that's me. Bye.
Okay. So, thank you, Art. So, before Art knocks me off the air, let me tell you what's happening next week right here on Dr. Mara Carpel and Your Golden Years. Next Sunday, April the 9th, we have another great show. We'll be joined once again by Iowa congressional candidate and long-term care ombudsman of the Iowa Department on Aging, Kim Weaver. And Kim works as a senior advocate for this very important federally mandated program, which was developed as a result of the Older Americans Act. And Kim Weaver is also now running for Congress for the 2018 elections in the state of Iowa. So she has a lot to say, and I think that will be really interesting. Also, we haven't heard from him in a while, but he'll be back next week. Veteran First Sergeant Will Williams, a friend of the program and a winner of multiple awards for his service in the community, in addition to his multiple medals during his military service. And he is back to join us and talk about some new volunteer organizations, and he'll let us know how we can all get involved to help the community. It's good for our own emotional well-being to give back. And Will told me there's a lot of new stuff going on, so I'm really excited to hear about what he has to say. And our artist next week will be trumpet player Cindy Bradley, and she'll be talking about her career in music, and we'll be playing some of her music. And if you want to hear tonight's program or read information from this program and about upcoming shows, see the link to the websites that my guests talk about, listen to previous shows, read my blog, watch YouTube videos of interviews, go to my website, the one-stop shop, drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com, and also be sure to follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Carpel, Your Golden Years. And that's where you get all of the up-to-the-minute details and updates. So both of those would be good for you to follow. And you can also listen to this evening's program in as soon as 5 minutes from right now by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And this evening's program was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by neurologist and memory specialist Dr. Ronald DeVere and by Storyhouse. And special thanks to my guests, Terry Hershey, Laura Gelazunis, and of course, thank you, Art. And thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night, an inspiring week. And remember, youth has no age. Good night, everyone.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Carpell is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Carpell, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.